Jeremiah chapter 7. Yesterday, I had to go over to Sam's and get a few things for the church and myself. And I think everybody in the store decided to check out at the same time. And there was this long line at the checkout door where they had to look at your receipt. I mean, there's like 15, 20 people standing in line. And I was standing there, and I learned a long time ago, I used to get frustrated in times like that, but I learned that's a good time to pass out tracts. So people are right there, and they're not going anywhere either. And so I started a few conversations, and lo and behold, there were two ladies. They were probably 20 to 25, just young ladies. And they had this great big birthday cake. I mean, it was a big old thing. And I said, well, who's got a birthday? Who's the party for? They said, our dog. I said, what? She said, yep, it's for our dog. They just love these occasions. I gave them a tract anyhow. I'm not sure if I want them to come or not. But they were just so tickled. I watched them go across the parking lot, almost skipping with their cake across the way for get home for their party for their dog. Wow. Yeah. Keep your mouth shut in line. That's what I learned. Yeah, that's right. There's been a few times like that you wonder what people are thinking. Jeremiah chapter 7, please, verse 23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your people, your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, we would ask you as we come tonight that this message would speak to our hearts. Father, make it practical where we live. Help us to be encouraged and also warned. And may you help us, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Pastor Stephen, I'm going to be reading several things tonight, and I meant to bring my reading glasses laying on my desk. Could you bring those up to me? Just having a little struggle. How many of you are having pollen in your eyes? Scratch my eyeballs out. I don't know about you. If you're not yet, just wait a couple days. We walked out after church today, and Bob Kimmy has a black car. We couldn't find it because it was yellow. It was really coming down, I tell you, in pollen. You know, this message, I don't always, very seldom actually, name my messages. Some pastors have a title for every message, but this one I named, Backward, Not Forward, or Forward, Not Backward. Which way are you going? Are you going forward, or are you going backwards? I learned a long time ago, in most things, there's hardly ever static, neutral, not going anywhere. When we think we're going, like, not forward, or we're probably slipping back further than we thought. I grew up in an area that had a lot of hills. Houston's flat. But I'm just old enough to be where there were still a lot of people that drove a standard stick shift type of a car. And I can remember getting in town, and I wasn't driving yet, but I can remember my mom didn't learn to drive till she was 39. And so when she would go to town, it was a big deal. My mom would be driving, and she was very not confident in herself. But when you're sitting on an incline like this, on the snow, on a brick road, in the car, you take your foot off the clutch, and you look at the car, and you think you're okay, but the car isn't, you're not moving, but the cars like this from going like that are parked. It isn't the cars that are parked that are moving. You're moving. And that's a scary, scary feeling. You know, backwards or forwards? Forwards or backwards? Which way are you going? This passage of Scripture gives us some insight into this. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. God gave a command. And this command is not like really long. It's very, very, he said, just like your parents when you get frustrated with your kids, obey me. That's really hard. That's God's command. Just obey me. That's it. You look at the Bible over and over and over again. That's what the Lord says. Just obey. You know, parents, can you identify with this? Have you ever gotten so frustrated with your kids and you want to just say, just obey me. Just do what I told you. Obey me. Things would be so sweet. My wife, Mondays used to be our family time, and sometimes most of the time we did stuff, but sometimes I would be sort of frustrated or sort of need some space, and so my wife had no problem taking the kids and heading to Target or Walmart or wherever it was that she was headed. And the kids went, yay, they get in the car. They're all bouncing. They get in the car. My wife's happy. She's getting going to the mall. Boy, they're all happy. And I'd hear the car back up out of the driveway, and I'd see them get on the road. And I just put my recliner back. And, it's quiet and peaceful. Men, can you identify with this? I mean, I'm just happy. And about 5 minutes, I hear the car come back in the driveway. And I hear the door shut. I'll obey next time. Please, Mom, I'll obey. And if you knew my wife as I do when dealing with the kids, my wife just doesn't argue with the kids. Now, maybe I would, but she wouldn't. And she'd say, I told you twice, and I told you if you did it again, now, if you just obey, then she'd turn around and come home and inflict it on me. Okay. But I'd hear her reasoning with them as they came in. Next time you're going to obey. Next time when I say something, you're just going to obey. You ever been down that road? Yeah. That's what God says. He says, just obey me. Follow my commands. So let's look at it. But this thing commanded I, saying, obey my voice. Voice control. Have you ever thought, you know, when you learn to ride a horse, they have bits in their mouth, you pull on different sides and all the rest, but there comes a point when a horse and a rider really get used to each other, and the horse is submitted to the rider. All the rider has to do is sit on the bare back of that horse and lean a little bit one direction, and the horse goes that way. Or all the rider, instead of having to jerk on the reins, they'd say, whoa. Pat on the side of the neck. Whoa, boy. Horse stops. Voice control. There's such a sympathy between the one that's in charge and the one that's underneath. Who's bigger, the rider or the horse? Boy, we think we're big stuff like that horse, but you know, God's bigger, isn't he? And God is saying, learn to obey my voice. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Obey my voice. That's what he's saying. And I will be your God. How many gods are there? We believe very definitely one. God said, I will be your God. If you just do one thing, obey me. Christians, I wonder how many people have sat over the centuries like we are in Bible-believing churches. They have all the knowledge. They know the things God has said, but they're still having a lot of trouble obeying what God says. Can I ask you a question up front tonight in the message? Is there an area of your life you're having trouble obeying God? Somebody tonight before church was saying in a very sweet way, I got to work on getting my tithe together. I want to make sure I got my tithe, Pastor. And they had a couple questions about if we could do electronic sending or whatever, because they wanted to make sure they got it. And we talked about it. But they're just trying to obey the Lord. I don't know where your area might be in trouble in obeying. Maybe you have trouble in giving. Not that this person had that problem tonight. They're trying to work it out. Maybe yours is not doing some things you're not supposed to do. God's been talking to you. I find that if God's talking to you, he doesn't talk to you just at church. He's working on your heart, and he's reminding you. And it's amazing how sometimes when God's really working on us, out of the blue, you turn on the radio, and that's what the preacher's preaching on. I mean, just working on you. Up walks somebody, boom. It just seems like everywhere you go, God's just saying, I'm reminding you. Is there something God's been chasing you a little bit on lately? You know you need to get at it. Just obey my voice and I will be your God. Look in the same book of Jeremiah. Turn over to chapter 11. Chapter 11. Look at verses 1 through 7. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant, and speak unto all of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant. Wow, God makes it really clear. If you don't do what you're supposed to be, instead of being blessed and I'm your God, God says, cursed be. Verse 4, when I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them according to all that I have commanded you, so shall ye be my people. Isn't that the same command? And I will be your God, that I may perform the oath which I have sworn unto your fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then answered I and said, so be it, O Lord. Can I just say something? Each generation has to decide for itself if it's going to obey the Lord. Our way forefathers in America said we're going to obey the Lord. Amen? I'm not everybody, but but 2019, we have to decide if we're going to obey the Lord's voice of the Lord. I say it unto you today, the Lord says to this group, obey my voice. It's a fresh call to obey my voice. We can't depend on the obedience of somebody 100 years ago. God's looking for obedience right now from all of us. Look, if you will, please. End of verse 5. Then answered I. That's a call to us, isn't it? Then answered I and said, so be it. What do we say in church? We don't say so be it. We say what? Amen, Lord. So be it. We're going to do it. Verse 6. Then the Lord said unto me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant and do them. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt unto this day, rising up early and protesting, just saying, here it is again. Obey my voice. God, you have a broken needle. Well, that's old. My kids don't know what I'm talking about. God, you're just repeating yourself. Teenagers, what I was referring to is an old thing. You know those things called records? You ever heard of records? It has a little needle on an arm. You put it on it, and it'd go round and round. As it go around, it would play the music or whatever it was. And sometimes there'd be a scratch or a needle that would be dull. It was going around the little teeny groove you could hardly see with your eye. And it'd come around, and it would just skip and go in the same place. And it'd go, oh, how I love, 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 love. You go over and bump the side of the table, love. And it'd go on to the next. How many people know what I'm talking about? Okay. How come there's only people on this side? Okay. God, you have a broken needle. Why just keep saying, obey my voice, obey my voice, obey my voice. Get on to something else. And that's all God really wants. The Lord has said to us in several places, it's not the size of your sacrifices. If God wanted a pile of money, he'd go, right? If God wanted a new building, he'd just go. That doesn't impress God a whole lot. Just obey me. That's what impresses God. We make it sound so complicated to serve the Lord, but it really, in theory, is not. It's one issue. God said, just do what I tell you to do. And we'll be all set. Well, we use all kinds of excuses. Well, I live in the 21st century, and we don't do things like they did 2,000 years ago. I mean, man has evolved. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Well, they don't understand the issues of today. It's just the same thing. Obedience is obedience. It's always the same issue. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. What did they fail in? Obedience. It's the same issue. It's not complicated. Obey my voice. You just go back now again to Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23. But this I commanded them, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto thee. Turn over to Deuteronomy, please, for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 6, please. We know Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 and 6 quite a bit, but I want you to look at the verses just in front of that. Hang on a second. Deuteronomy. Look at verse 1. 6:1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments of the Lord, which your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all the statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and the days that thy days may be, what's the next word? Prolonged. Live well. Live long and prosper. Here it is. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. Heard messages on that. But hear, O Israel, observe with the idea of doing it. Then it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest increase mightily, as the Lord God thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. That's Israel, but boy, our forefathers obeyed God. And what is America today? A land that flows with milk and honey. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. What God wants isn't so hard. He just wants total obedience and devotion. That's what God's seeking from you. And he's seeking it from me. Turn to Exodus chapter 19. We're going to look around a few verses here. Exodus chapter 19. Look at verse 5. Exodus 19:5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice. There it is again. Indeed. That indeed means, and really do it, right? And keep my commandments, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Now let's just stop here. This is an Israel promise. I realize that. But I don't think in any less way it's to the church today. If you will be an obedient, God-fearing group, then you will become a peculiar people unto me. What does that mean? That's sort of a strange wording way of saying, then I'm going to say, you are mine, and I'm going to associate myself with you. You'll be my peculiar people. It's sort of like people coming into church to sit. We all have our peculiar seats. We just sit in the same place, and when people don't move over, we'll go, excuse me, that's, everybody knows I sit there, you know. We sort of choose up. God said, if you will just love me and obey me, then I will raise you up as a very special unto me people. I'll put my name on you and you'll put your name on me, and it'll be a very tight relationship. Look at verse 6. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And so Moses called the elders of the people, laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. So the Lord just said, okay, this is it. Tell the people, I want you to be my people. If you'll do it, then I'll call you mine, you'll be mine, and I'll be yours, and we'll have this tight relationship. Moses said, come over here, elders. You got a decision to make. And we know different times Israel said, oh, we will do whatever God says. Sometimes Moses or whatever would say, don't say that too quick. Because it is a little harder than it sounds to obey God rather than everybody else in the whole world. It takes a lot of pressure to obey God. Abraham, leave where you are and go find a city that has no foundations. Where are you going, Moses? Oh, I'm just headed this way. But why? Well, God told me to leave everything and all my prosperity and all my family pretty much over here. And I'm supposed to go find a place that I don't know where I'm going that has a city that's got no foundations. And Moses, can I take your temperature? People don't understand living for God. They do understand living for self. And they think that you're sort of, there's something wrong with you. You either joined a cult or you've had a stroke. I mean, they don't know which it is, but they really don't understand. Look at Leviticus chapter 26, please. Leviticus chapter 26. Look at verse 1. Leviticus 26, 1. Ye shall make no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up an image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary, and I am the Lord your God. Well, here's two commandments. No other images or gods or idols, and you're supposed to remember to keep a day special for God and be in a sanctuary. Does that sound too hard? Does the average Christian have trouble with those two things? Do they have trouble with getting their priorities or other things becoming God? And do we have trouble getting to church? What is the problem with a lot of churches today? They're having church services at Sunday at 7 a.m. so people can still make it to the beach. Or the football game, or wherever it is, and still sort of get God in there, but then they can worship the other things that they want to have in their life more. Verse 3 of Leviticus 26. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you, look what God promises to Israel, you could say it's to you, I will give you rain in due season. The land shall yield her increase. The trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall reach unto the vintage. In other words, you'll have fruit. You'll have wine that comes forward. The vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat the bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. I like verse 8 coming up. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. With God on your side, I mean, you're a powerhouse. For I have respect unto you and make you fruitful. I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you. My soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you and will be your God. and ye shall be my people. Just obey me. Just reverence me. Just love me. It's not complicated. God is not looking for all these big, tremendous piles of good works to impress him. He says, walk in my ways. Go back, if you will, please, again, to Jeremiah chapter 7. But this commanded I them, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. That it may be well with you. Isn't that what we just read? The fruit going out, long life, dwelling in peace in the city, peace in the sense that your enemies try to attack you, 5 chases 100, 100 chases 10,000. That's peace and safety. Just walk in all the ways that I commanded you, and you will be blessed. He says, in Exodus chapter 15, you don't have to turn there, but let me get over there. Genesis, Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. And I find this to be a very significant verse. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, diligently hearken, isn't that obedience? And will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Do you realize this promised land and all the rest, it was filled apparently with some diseases. And the Egyptians, they had come from a land filled with these diseases. And God said, if you'll do right, I'll make sure that none of these diseases touch your body. How are we reading? Since I was younger, they invent one antibiotic to cover this one, 7 seem to spring up behind it. We have all kinds of people. We're trying to figure out, where's all the autism coming in our children? Where are the cancers that are just springing out of all over the place? These other people, they live to be 900 and some years old. We can't make it to 50 without something hitting us that's pretty major. God said, none of these diseases will touch thee. And he makes it clear, I brought these unto the heathen. I remember when I was a younger man, and my pastor and some other pastors around the country, when the AIDS epidemic began, they got up and said, this is most likely a scourge from God upon homosexuality and all that kind of stuff that's going around. And people that were in the world said, how dare you say something like that? Because that's what the Bible indicates. I mean, every time somebody gets AIDS, I'm not saying that. I am saying that God could just as clearly take care of all the plagues and all the diseases that are in America if we would just begin to obey his voice. I personally believe that. I mean, everybody would just be cured if they start obeying God. I definitely think you would see an inverse curve relationship go in the opposite direction. Using my calculus class now. Okay. You'd see a relationship, obedience to God's physical health of our country. Health and wealth and peace. Isn't that what people want? What is the root of it? Obey my voice. You want your family to be prosperous? Happy, healthy. Don't try to do everything that's out there. Just obey the Lord. When he speaks, yes, sir. That settles it for me. We can go back, if you will, with me, please. I should have had you stay there. Go back to Leviticus now, and I want you to have your finger back in 26 again, Leviticus 26. So we've preached verse 23. Obey my voice, I will be your God, you'll be my people, I'll walk in my ways, I've commanded you that it may be well unto you. Verse 24, you're not there, I am. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imaginations of their evil heart, and they went backwards, not forwards. They hearkened not. Go back now to 26 and look at verse 14. But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, verse 15, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, verse 26, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, burning ague that shall consume the eyes, cause sorrow of the heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain. If that doesn't work, look at verse 18. And if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins, and I will break the pride of your power. Look at verse 23. And if ye will not reform, be reformed by these things, walk contrary unto me, verse 24, I will walk contrary unto you, and I will punish you seven times over. Look at verse 27. And if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary, I will walk contrary unto you, and this time in fury. Do you see the acceleration? God's working and dealing, breaking his people. And I, even I, will chastise you seven more times. I'll deal with your flesh of your children. Look at verse 32. I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among all the heathen, and I will draw the sword after you. Verse 34. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths. And we know exactly what happened when God sent the children of Israel 70 years to be underneath the other people. You add up all the Sabbaths that they refused to give to God, and it comes out to exactly the 70 years that they were in captivity. God said, if you won't do it voluntarily, we'll give the land all those Sabbaths rest all at once. Just obey me. He didn't say agree with me. Just obey me. I wish you could hear me in chapel sometimes. Some of the kids here are in our school. And sometimes we're having trouble with a couple little rules. And you know, rules aren't the end. Like, they aren't Bible verses, right? But sometimes I'll say to the boys and girls or the teenagers, you don't have to agree with the rules. Just have to obey them. You don't have to understand the rules. Just have to obey them. We don't have to understand why God wants us to do things the way he does. But when he clearly makes it to us some things that he wants us to do, it shouldn't be, why now? Can I delay? Or Lord, let me give you none of that. Just learn to obey the Lord. Go over to Deuteronomy, please. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 29. Look at verse 9. Deuteronomy 29, verse 9. Keep therefore the words of this covenant, and do them that ye may prosper in all that ye do. Ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, and your elders, and your officers, with all the men of Israel, verse 13, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he has said unto thee, as he has sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. Look at verse 17. And ye have seen their abominations. You've seen what this world is like. In other words, they've seen what's in the promised land. There's a lot of garbage. You've seen it in Egypt, and you've seen what these people had. So he says, you have seen their abominations, you've seen their idols, you've seen their wood and their stone, their silver and the gold, which were among them. Verse 18, lest there should be among you man, woman, or family, or tribe, whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God. According to that verse, what's the issue then? It's an issue of the heart. It's not the exact thing that we disobey in. It's the heart. To go and to serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. What is that talking about? That just simply means God says you go down this road, there's going to be a root that begins to grow in your heart. And it's going to begin to produce bitterness and gall. Wormwood. Wormwood, when it's given to people and they drink it, it causes them to have death and all kinds of problems. Verse 19, and it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that here's his response when he's reminded, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imaginations of my heart to add drunkenness to my thirst. The Lord will not spare him. So what is that saying? Person said, okay, the preacher preached a strong message. We need to obey. But I said to myself, surely God won't do that. Surely God won't do that. God would never destroy America. God would never deal with Westside Baptist Church. After all, I've been a Sunday school teacher. He'd never deal with me. Oh, yeah? Verse 20, the Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man. Well, that's pretty strong, isn't it? Shall smoke against him. And all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him. Wow, that's a pile of things. And the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven, and the Lord shall separate him out unto evil in the tribes. You get an idea? God is going to deal with it. And what is this man's problem? What are these people's problem? Lack of knowledge? Lack of knowing what God wants? Absolutely not. It's they say to themselves, I know I'm not supposed to do this, but I'm going to do it. And I think God's not going to really deal with me. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Pretty strong admonitions to us. When we hearken not unto the voice. Turn over the book of Psalm 81. Psalm 81. Look at verse 9. 81, verse 9. There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. What does that mean? If you'll just do what I'm saying you're supposed to do, and you're my people, and we have a good relationship, all you have to do is ask. Open your mouth, I'll fill it. Ask and it shall be. Seek and ye shall. Knock and it shall be. Jeremiah 30. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Promises from God if we're his people and living obediently. Verse 11. But. One of my favorite words in the Bible. But my people would not hearken to my voice. What's the issue? Obedience. My people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would, this is pretty strong, they would none of me. They wouldn't have it. They would none of me. So I gave them up. You want to go that way? God says, go ahead. Unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me. There's the heart of God crying. And Israel had walked in my ways. Here's what God says I would have done. I should have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have been submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. God said, I would have blessed them eternally. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied them. There's an old song. There's honey in the rock, dear brother. There's honey in the rock for me. God's just looking for obedience. And I would have filled you. I would have eternally blessed you, but you would not, and you would have none of it. You would have none of it. You were filled with your own imaginations and your own heart. Back in Jeremiah, hark not, they wouldn't incline their ears. They walked in the counsel imaginations of their own evil hearts. And if we just remembered where we were in Jeremiah, let me just read it carefully to you. But walked in the counsel's imagination of their own evil heart, and they went backward. Maybe we should call this message, down, 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 down. How far will you go down? And they went not forward. Spinning your wheels, getting nowhere. Going to church and getting nowhere. Living a life that has no purpose and no blessing of God. It's a lot for us to think about. You know, God warns us, doesn't he? God warns us with things like the Twin Towers of just 15 years ago. God tried to remind America, I put my hands around you and protected you. Just like that, I could have taken down your richest possession. Have you read some of the stories that I've read about how much money was lost because of that day to America? Billions and billions and billions of dollars. Pew! Just like that. We read the passage where God says, did that not get your attention? Let me try this. That doesn't get your attention? Then let me try this. Until finally God says, I'm going to scatter you. Christians, I'm not just preaching to America. I'm preaching to us as human beings that love Christ in a good church, a good Bible preaching church. Just obey the Lord. So, Pastor, how does that happen? Let me give you some things I jotted down as a sort of conclusions to the message. Are you reading your Bible, praying and having devotions? Are you spending time with God? God wanted to come down to the Garden of Eden. How did God end every day? He wanted to fellowship with his people. How do I fellowship with God? I just spend time with him. And we don't show up. We just don't show up. There are people that are active Christians in good churches that don't have their Bible devotions for weeks and months. And we all could say, preacher, quit preaching that. We just don't show up. This passage, it made it very clear, God wants us in his house. And we do just about anything and everything but go to church. This morning I tried to be cognizant because of different things. The service got longer and I thought we just need to get going. I want people to be back. I don't want to get too long. But I tell you what, services get too long, people say, I'm going to find a short church service place. Go to God's house. Be faithful. Number three, God's looking for people to just serve him. Just surrender to him. Surrender and serve. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send. That'll be a cry in the heart song that we have. Number four, God's looking for people that'll be pure and separated. We preached on that a little bit this morning. We said the fly in the ointment's learning to love, but God's looking for a holy people, separated unto himself, pure and clean, like a chaste bride. That's how God looks at the church. He's looking for a pure, chaste bride. Not all hooked up with the world. Number five, God's looking for people that puts him first and everything else is subordinate. He just wants to be at the top of the list. God's looking for a people, number six, that have a clear testimony. That's my God. That's my God. I'm not ashamed to be called a Christian. I love the Lord. I believe the Bible. That's how we ought to order our life. I'm not apologizing for that. It's the right thing. I don't care if the whole world starts to think that wrong is right and right is wrong. Wrong is still wrong and right is still right. I'm not going to ever doubt that. And God says, you do that, your enemies will run. Your enemies will run. Just obey my voice. Put me first. Get in the Word. Be in my house. Just obey my voice. And you'll go forward. Go forward, not backwards. Which way are you going tonight? Forwards or backwards? Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that you'd help us as we examine our heart on this passage, that, Father, we would take the clearness of your command and not try to push it off to the side, but examine line by line in our life, are we obeying God? In Jesus' name, with our heads bowed.